Featuring her signature themes of identity, eroticism and existential quest, the stories in Sarah Hall's third collection, Sudden Traveller, bring the reader to several very different locations, from Turkish forests and coastlines to the rain-drenched villages of Cumbria. Yvonne Nolan has read Sudden Traveller and she's with me in studio now. Sarah Hall, tell me a little bit about her and her previous work, the nature of the writer here, Yvonne.
I suppose you summed it up a little bit there in the intro. What she's really well known for is her ability to write about otherworldly worldly situations while keeping it somehow rooted in the real. So her last collection of stories, Madam Zero, which won several prizes, and one particular story in it
won a very important...
Mrs. Fox won a very important prize. And in that story, a quite uptight businesswoman becomes a vixen one day when out walking with her husband. And it's so improbable. You don't see it coming because she writes the reality so nicely that you're not expecting the unreality when it comes.
So it's in some ways we're in a realistic world, we're in real places and we're in, you know, very, for the most part, contemporary situations.
Yes.
But into that she pulls a kind of a mythical quality and a quality of fable.
Yes, you can really see the influence of myth and fable in her work, even when she's just describing how women think or how they think about their lives or how they think about, maybe there's a woman thinking about her mother dying in the same year as she has her first child. And there's a kind of obsession in Sarah Hall's work with really ancient stuff. And I suppose, you know, fairy tales and myths were the first stories we told ourselves. So they're really, really important. They go to something really deep. And she recognises that and really capitalises on that in very modern, contemporary work.
All right, well, let's say the very first story in the book, I suppose you couldn't get a more modern or contemporary tale and theme than is in this particular story. M is the simple title.
Yes, and I'm assuming that M is the name of the character. Very few of her central characters are given names. But it's the story of a woman who is a very successful lawyer. She has a nice life, but like Mrs. Fox, she's reached the limits of the possible in her life. She has a handsome young lover who's also a brilliant architect. On paper, she looks great. But the thing is that she handles a legal case for a woman's shelter called The Haven. And how Hall describes this is that she's biding.
Biding.
So what she's actually doing is, I think what a lot of lawyers find themselves doing sometimes when a case is lost before it's even begun, is that she's shoveling paperwork because the place where the shelter is has been bought by the second richest man in the country. There's nothing going to stop office blocks going where the women's shelter is.
So she kind of, if you like, transforms herself then from this lawyer representing them into something else.
It's very reminiscent of the transformation in Kafka, although it's more richly told because it happens, it seems to me to happen over a longer period of time. And so the other parallel thing, and it answers other themes in the book as well, is that, and something I often find myself thinking about at my age, is I've got this far in life. I survived the accident on holiday. I survived the car accident. I came out of that dreadful illness. And you get to a certain stage in your life and you're beginning to think, I might be running out of chances. My nine lives, you know, mightn't be so great anymore. I might be through eight of them. So she's thinking that anyway. And then she begins to get pains at around 3 o'clock in the morning, terrible stomach cramps. And of course, Hall is so acute in her observations. For between 3 and 5 is the time of the day when most people who are ill die. It's that hour when people steal away. And so all this is conflated in her head. But then she transforms. And I don't really want to give too much away here because it is really beautiful.
Yeah.
The surprise again, just like in Mrs. Fox, what happens here and how this woman kind of turns into an equaliser in a real way for the women who seek shelter at the Haven.
Right, so it becomes something very different and moves away from the realism.
Yeah, and other things interest Hall, like beyond, you know, we could look at the popularity of vampire tales in our contemporary times and so on. And here we have a woman who, to all intents and purposes, has superpowers, is supernatural. But what fascinates Hall in the end is that her character, while doing some amazing things with her supernatural strengths, does the most amazing thing of all for a woman, is she doesn't ignore herself. She doesn't put herself aside. And that's the most radical thing a woman with superpowers could do.
Yeah. There are two stories. Death is an important theme, but there are two stories where death is very much to the fore. A story called Orton, which is a town in Cumbria,
yes,
I think.
Yes.
And also then the title story of the collection, Sudden Traveller.
Yeah, and I've mentioned that briefly, Sudden Traveller. So the three stories you mentioned, so that first one, Orton, and Sudden Traveller, seem to be the very heart and soul of this book. So those three stories, for me, are what it's really all about. And if there were just those three stories between
be
the
happy.
Two covers, I'd be so happy, because they are three wonderful stories. So in Orton, a woman is travelling from somewhere in the south of England back north to where she's from, to Cumbria. She's going to this little village called Orton, but it's not because she was born there. It's because it was the middle village between two other villages, one village she came from and a boy that she had one date with once comes from the other village. They agree to meet in Orton, they go for a walk on the moors, and they have sex on the moors. And the thing about it is, alone in this woman's whole previous life, and definitely from the older age when she's looking back at this stage, nowhere has she been so free of fear. So she wants to go back to the place where she was free of fear, because that few minutes of union with that boy on the moor was the most perfect moment of lack of fear she'd ever experienced. Why does she want to go back to where she had no fear? Because she's in heart failure. She's had a radical device put in her heart that keeps it going. I'm not sure it's a pacemaker. It's bigger than that. Because we're in the future, because her cardiologist says to her, you know, there's a code you can get. You ring a call centre, give them this code. Give them your passwords and they will give you a code, and you have a little remote control. You press your remote control and your heart gives up working. And the character says to her cardiologist, well, you know, she was a bit, you know, of course, frightened. And she says, what will it be like? And the cardiologist said, well, I think it would be, you know, strong and beautiful. I think it'll be a sort of climax. And with that, the character begins to realise at that stage, the reason she has to go back to this place where she had this date with the boy is because you literally can't control anything. The more than she couldn't control that moment of that day where she had sex with that boy, she can't control death either.
Yeah.
And that the thing that circumscribes so many lives is fear and the attempt to organise life when life isn't organisable. And the thing is, she describes that moment of sex on the moor as the slaughterhouse of desire. And you go from the slaughterhouse of desire to the slaughterhouse of death itself.
Death.
It's beautiful. It's so beautifully imagined.
And I know in the title story as well, we're dealing with, I think that's the story where you mentioned about the daughter and the mother's dying just as the daughter is giving birth to her child.
So
let me just ask, so clearly in those stories that we've spoken about there, we're talking about female protagonists and female stories.
Yeah.
Are they all, predominantly?
There's one story where the central character is male.
Is this the grotesque?
The Woman the Book Read, which is about a man who could have had a relationship with a daughter. So in fact, the magnetic character at
the
heart is a woman called Ara, who could have been this man's daughter, who is in a way his spiritual daughter, but he's left it too late to do anything about it. And so it's quite sad.
Let me just read a couple of sentences here from the opening story that we've spoken about. A warm, damp, starless night in the city, the last night of summer. Darkness moves like an ocean above the roofs and starlights and streetlights. The wind is directionless, confusing the trees, and so it continues down to the last line in the paragraph. It is the hour between prayers. I mean, this is incredible. Just on a word-to-word, line-to-line basis, it's incredible writing.
I mean, she's a wonderful writer, not just because of her rich word store, but also about because of how richly she imagines everything and then how beautifully paced her writing is. So that sentence on sentence, not alone are the words right and beautiful and the insights are original, but also there's pace. There's a beautiful poetic pace.
A touch of Dylan Thomas even in that
every
opening.
Every sentence has balance. Every paragraph has counterbalance. I mean, you don't really find writing like this in our times, because I think partly why we don't see it so often is because a lot of creative writing programmes teach a spare style. They tell you to pull back. There's a suspicion of too many words where one will do. But she uses words so beautifully, and she taxes the reader. Sometimes she'll use words that aren't English. Sometimes she will use words that are in Greek script. So you have to go to Google Translate to try and figure out what the hell that meant. And I love that about her, that she'll give you no help.
Yeah, but having said that, you know, the spare style or the sparse style being very much in vogue, this is a very short book with very short stories within it. So it's economic for all its nature.
Yes, when you really think about stories, what you notice is the amount of time that's given in description compared to like the overall story arc of every story.
You enjoyed this collection.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, just the pictures, it's for a writer, by a writer who really loves language, for a reader who really loves that very old-fashioned thing of language, words beautifully used and put together. A very old-fashioned but still a wonderful thing when you read it.
Big recommendation there from Yvonne Nolan for Sudden Traveller, new collection of short stories by Sarah Hall. It's published by Faber and Faber.